If you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 60. Psalm chapter number 60. I wonder if anybody knows in your home what series we are in on Wednesday nights. I'll give you a little hint. It is five words long, and the first word is daily. I wonder if somebody right now is piping up in your home and knows what that phrase is. I'll give it to you in just a second. Maybe you've thought of it by now. It's called Daily Choices for Difficult Days. Daily Choices for Difficult Days. We are in sermon number 9 on this series. So you know Michael and Aaron Milwick are working behind the scenes. And they are working to put this in a nice packaged case that will have 10 CDs in it that you will be able to have or maybe be able to pass on to somebody. All the I wills that we've preached through on Wednesday night for the past couple of months, we hope to have that available to you and excited to be able to share that with others, and you have a copy of it. I believe these truths did not know we were going into what we're in right now when we started this series, but I believe that this series is very practical to where people are living right now. So far in the series, we have learned, I will trust. I will trust. We can make that daily choice in difficult days. Number two, I will testify. I can still talk of the goodness of God even on a difficult day. I personally can make that choice. You personally can make that choice. The psalmist over and over made these choices throughout the Psalms. In fact, to take you back to the beginning of the series, the phrase I will is used over 150 times throughout the Psalms. He made another choice we studied a number of weeks ago called I will sing. I will sing. You say, preacher, I don't have a great voice. You can still make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can make a choice on a difficult day to sing unto the Lord. I will walk in mine integrity. The psalmist made that choice in difficult days. I will cry unto the Lord. Oh, that's a good choice that we can make in difficult days or on difficult days. I will hope. I won't lose my confidence in God. Today, on purpose, I will hope in God. In this difficult time, I will hear from God today. I will let God talk to me. I will take time to read His Word and listen to His Spirit talk to me. Last week we said, I will remember. I will remember the name of the Lord our God. Started a series in Sunday school entitled, Remembering the Name of the Lord our God. And last week we looked at the Lord is our shepherd. And some of you, we talked about making banners. Some of you have done that. If you haven't done that yet, let me encourage you to do so and put something in your windows in your house or out in front yard that gives the name of God and a verse reference and advertise, promote, exalt God through a banner. Let me encourage you to do that. We are in Psalm 60, Psalm chapter number 60. The intro to this song is one of the largest intros in the book of Psalms. When I say intro, there's a little preface before the verses actually start. Maybe you'll find it in your Bible. It says something to this effect, and I probably won't get the names right here tonight. They're hard to pronounce. But it says, to the chief musician upon Shushan Naduth, Miktam of David, to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. And so that's kind of the background or the setting of this psalm, Psalm chapter number 60. It's a historical setting, another one in the life of David. Boy, the interesting thing to me about the Psalms is David is writing from all kinds of situations in his life. It's like you read one psalm and he's writing about, you know, he's in the midst of Saul trying to kill him in the cave. And now in this psalm, in Psalm 60, he's in the midst of battle, and there's wars going on in northern Israel and wars going on in southern Israel, and David's writing in the midst of that. He writes another psalm in Psalm chapter, I think it's 50 or 55, and now Absalom, his own son, wants to kill him. And he's writing that psalm with that backdrop, all kinds of different backdrops and settings and situations in the Psalms. Note this psalm is written to teach. In the intro of the psalm, it is Miktam of David to teach. This psalm was written to teach. The thrust of the psalm is to teach the people of God both to trust in God and to triumph in Him. And so I'm going to show you in the psalm tonight another choice that the psalmist made that you can make, a daily choice that you can make on difficult days. This psalm means sinkings. It is particularly appropriate in a psalm which deals with the way David was smiting his foes and the way his foes were striking at him. Since life is full of smitings, this psalm has something to say to all those living in a time of strife, when we feel like we're overwhelmed by the enemy. This psalm's background is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 14, or you can read about the battle that David is in that passage, and actually we'll refer to that passage at the end of the message tonight. The psalm was written at a time when David was at war with the Syrians. He was at war in the north, and it looked like they were finally going to get victory after a terrible defeat with the Syrians. But at the same time, he got news from the south that the Edomites were attacking southern Israel, and David's got two battles going on. And that's where we pick up Psalm chapter number 60. Interesting, in our lives, we have cares. And at the same times, we have our joys. There's maybe some things that you can rejoice over. As I gave the prayer update today, I started it out with praises. Boy, there's some things to rejoice over. Same thing tonight. But in the midst of those things that we rejoice over, on the other side, there are cares and there are concerns and there are burdens that take up our energy and take up our mind. David was experiencing both. It looked like he was finally going to get joy in victory over the Syrians, but there's another battle going on that they may lose down in southern Judah, and the people be scattered, the nation be divided. This is what David was facing. I see five things in the psalm. If you're taking notes tonight, number one, I want you to see a scattered people. A scattered people. It's amazing when you're facing something how certain things jump off the pages of Scripture at you. One of the things that God has drawn my attention to, just has popped up over and over in the past few weeks, is scattered. The idea of scattered people. The idea of scattered Christians. In Acts 8, they were scattered because of the persecution. In 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you find Peter starting out his epistles with to the strangers and those that are scattered in Pontus and Bithynia and so on. In James starts his epistle to the ones that are, to the tribes that are scattered. He says, I write to you that are scattered. Now here in Psalm 60, David is giving us a picture of what's taking place in Israel after the terrible defeat with the Syrians. He says in verse number 1, O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. David's hands are full in battle, and his people are scattered, or the people of Israel are scattered. A scattered people can be divided among themselves. You know, I've always said doctrine, false doctrine has killed its thousands of churches, but division has killed its 10,000s. Division in the church will destroy people, scatter people. When we're scattered, we're weakened, we're exposed, we're vulnerable. Here the people of God, David as king, as warrior, admits, you've scattered us, Lord. We are scattered. Maybe you feel like that a little bit in these times. I certainly do. I'm looking at empty pews tonight, trying to picture where everybody sits, trying to just see again the invisible that I can't see tonight of this building being full again with God's people. But nevertheless, there's a scattering here in this passage. Number two, there's a displeased God. Look at verses 2 and 3, if you will. Verses 2 and 3, Psalm chapter number 60. The Bible says, Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. In verse number 1, it says, Thou hast been displeased. God had called the whole earth to tremble in David's day. Sound anything like what we're experiencing? They were shaken. The people were shaken internally. David eventually got victory over Syria, but not initially. There was a terrible defeat that David and the warriors of Israel experienced with Syria the first go-around. David did not attribute this defeat to bad luck, nor did he attribute it to poor military strategy. Defeat at the hands of an enemy was to be understood and interpreted in terms of the spiritual condition of the people. And David looked at that defeat, being scattered, being cast off, he says in verse number 1, and the earth trembling. And he says, "Thou hast showed thy people hard things." And he points to this: God, you're displeased with us. You're displeased with us. Perhaps the string of successes under David's leadership had created a false sense of security that caused the people to take for granted the blessing of God apart from their obedience. Brethren, last number of years, God has blessed Mount Zion Baptist Church. But brethren, just because God is blessing Mount Zion Baptist Church does not mean that you and I can disregard obeying our God. It is important that you understand tonight that we need to obey God. You know that we can please God, but we can also displease God. David looked at the defeat. David looked at the suffering. David looked at the trouble in the people's hearts. David looked at all that was happening, the hard things that the people were seeing. And he said, "God, you've been displeased." I wonder if God's been displeased at all in your life lately, because you have disobeyed him. Brethren, these times ought to call us back to whole obedience, thorough obedience, doing exactly what God tells us to do and when God tells us to do it, and doing it with a right heart attitude. Let me encourage you to be serious about your obedience. Let me encourage you tonight in your prayer time to search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way or disobedient way in me. A displeased God is certainly in this passage. He says in verse number 3, "Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment." This defeat was sudden. It created an upheaval. The situation became critical quickly. Everything seemed to be moving forward for God when, like the crack of doom, the defeat came unexpectedly. David staggered as a man drunk with wine here. That's the word picture. His senses reeled. His whole kingdom was threatened. This new crisis left him without answers. The psalmist is not speaking bitterly about God here and saying that he was displeased. He's saying we must own his judgment on us sometimes. And brethren, America, as my father so aptly described in the devotional today or yesterday, America has not obeyed God. We have wicked sins as a nation. And God doesn't overlook those things. Brethren, we are in some judgment times, I believe, because of the sins of our nation. I see a displeased God. I see a scattered people. But thirdly, I see a purposeful prayer. Look at verse number 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Notice the word "us" in verse number 1. Spurgeon says of this, the portion of this psalm, here is one suppliant or prayer warrior for many. Even as in the case of our Lord's intercession for his saints, he, the Lord's David, pleads for the rest of the beloved, beloved and accepted in him, the chief beloved. Dear Christian, can I encourage you tonight that your voice can cry forth to God on behalf of many, yea, on behalf of our whole nation, just as David did. On behalf of your whole family, on behalf of your church, oh, turn thyself, God, to us again. Heal the breaches thereof. Cracks resulting from earthquakes is the prayer here. David was praying, Lord, heal those cracks, seal those cracks back up in people's lives. I think of the cracks of anxiety and the cracks of addiction in people's lives today. I think of the crack of abortion. Lord, heal those things in our nation. Verse number 11 of Psalm 60, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. David committed two sins, notably in Scripture. One was with Bathsheba. That's the popular one that we know. But the other one was that he numbered his people. He numbered his people. Oh, I've got this many soldiers in my army and in my military. But he says here, a little different spirit than numbering the people then. For vain is the help of men or man. He says, Lord, you give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. You know what David did in his crisis? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Repeatedly in his life, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I believe David prayed what was on his mind, and in doing so, he knew God is the only one who could heal the broken people. He's the only one that could provide true help from trouble. He's the only one that could turn toward man and really make a difference. He said, vain is the help of man, but God, you can help us. You're a Christian. In your prayer time tonight, in your prayer time daily, make sure you remind yourself that vain is the help of man. But God, you are our help. David would have Joab go down south and fight. And Joab was a warrior, never lost a battle in six or seven battles in Scripture up to this point. But David's confidence wasn't in Joab. David's confidence was in God. He called out to God for help. He says in verse number 12, through God we shall do valiantly. And that they did, the Scripture says. There's a blessed remnant in verses 4 and 5. I don't have time to develop, but it's interesting that the word banner comes up again this week. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered. God's banner was Israel in the Old Testament. And that banner was lifted high and was to be lifted high to glorify God. By the way, the church today is a banner that God wants to stand up. He wants His church to glorify Him. Unto Him be glory in the church in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21. God and His truth serve as a rallying point for His perplexed people. God and His truth, that's the banner, my friend, for us. His truth and His person. I don't have time to develop that tonight. I want to move lastly to the choice that was made in this passage. It's in verse number 6. It's in verse number 6. Psalm 60 and verse number 6. God hath spoken in His holiness. Notice the next three words. I will rejoice. Oh, I like those words. Faith regards the promises of God not as fiction, but as fact, and therefore drinks in joy from it and grasps victory from them. The promise of God. Here's what David claimed. David claimed God hath spoken in His holiness, and that's all I need. If God has spoken, then I will rejoice. Oh, here's a fit motto for every soldier that's in God's army tonight. God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. In Psalm 89, verse number 35, it says this about God's relationship to David. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. You know, God never comes back and says, whoops, I didn't tell you right on that. I'm not going to be able to do that. God says, I've spoken once to David. I've sworn to David on some matters in the sense that He made promises to David. And He says in Psalm 89:35, that I will not lie unto David. No wonder David had the mindset, God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. My friend, God has spoken in His holiness to us, and we will rejoice. You can rejoice. You say, what has God spoken? God's spoken promises like this. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God hath spoken in His holiness, meaning He's distinct. He never goes back on His word. I will rejoice. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God hath spoken, I will rejoice. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Man, I stick my nose in the Bible. I meditate on God's word, and God hath spoken. I will rejoice. Psalm 27, verse 5. From the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Three promises. God hath spoken. Dear Christian, would you make the decision tonight? I will rejoice. God spoke it. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. God hath spoken. I will rejoice. Psalm 37, 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God hath spoken. I will rejoice. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I again say tonight and echo the words of David and echo the words of the Spirit to your heart tonight that God hath spoken his promises. And therefore you ought to say, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Having studied the I wills in Scripture, I close with this. A couple of weeks ago, I saw the connection between the I wills and the he shalls. Did you know in Psalms there's 150 or so I wills, and there's 81 he shalls. 81 times the Bible promises he, speaking of God, shall. My friend, tonight, there's a very simple choice for difficult days. Ought to be a daily choice of ours. And that is, as we recount the promises of God, we ought to say, I will rejoice. I encourage you to read 2 Samuel chapter 8, maybe tomorrow in your morning devotions, because you're going to read that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And he smote Moab, and he smote Hadadezer. And David slew of the Syrians 20 and 2,000 men. Verse number 9, David had smitten all the host of Hadadezer, all of all nations which he subdued, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Here's God's help in action. Amidst all the danger that David faced in battle after battle, against odds in many of the battles, the Lord kept him safe. He rescued him. He preserved him. He delivered him. Dear Christian, you may feel like you're living in dangerous times today, but so was David. And David cried out and said, God, help us in trouble. And we read in 2 Samuel, twice, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Arrows flying, enemies around. The Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Dear Christian, may I encourage you tonight to not look to man for help, for vain is the help of man, but look to God. And then God has spoken, I will rejoice. Would you make that decision tonight?